So let's start this morning by reading some scripture. Take your Bible and turn to Ezekiel 34. Okay. Can you find that on your device? Ezekiel 34. This is the background, of course, to John 10. So we'll read John 10 later and then Ezekiel 34. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding themselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought. With force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, and the shepherds have fed themselves, and have not fed my sheep. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds. And I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As the shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on the day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country, and I will feed them with good pasture. And on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. Then they will lie down in good grazing land on a rich, rich pasture. They shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. And I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed, I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. And then drop down to 23. And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them, and he shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken. So here's Ezekiel's condemnation of spiritual leadership, of false shepherds who fleeced the sheep and destroyed the sheep. And God said, I myself will shepherd my people. So that has to be understood, of course, as the background to John chapter 10, when Jesus says, I am the what? The good shepherd who lays down my life for the sheep. Now, it does say in verse 23, I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David. David's been dead for 600 years. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. So it must be someone related to David, but a greater than David is here. And then go over to John 10. You guys are doing good. Can you find John 10? And let's read part of this section at least, John chapter 10. Very familiar. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, climbs in by another way. That man is a thief and robber. He who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. And he calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A shepherd, a stranger, they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief only comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand, cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep who are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. And there arose a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He's a demon. It's insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" And then one more, drop down to verse 27, 25. Jesus answered them, "I told you, you do not believe me. The works that I do, my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you're not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." So I think the text falls into three, what was it, like music stands, into three parts. So take your little outline here and let's look at it briefly. You know, the story of the Good Shepherd really relates to chapter 9. John chapter 9 is the healing of the man born blind. And it's a humorous, amazing story of this man who had never seen. I mean, did he have eyeballs? He had never seen. And Jesus met him at the in the temple area. And it's too much, but he just got a sense of humor, this guy. He's never mentioned by name, but he mocks the Pharisees, saying things like, he opened my eyes, and you don't even know his name. Messiah opens the eyes of the blind. You don't know who he is. And then he says, do you want to become his disciples, what, too? And then they threw him out. They kicked him out of Jewish society, kicked him out of the church. He was no longer a Southern Baptist. And Jesus brings him in. So it's a remarkable story. And I think when the story begins, you know, the chapters, the big numbers, the chapters, like, see, you see a big number 10 there? Came about the 16th century, so just forget those. It's all one story. And I think everybody is there. The blind man's there. He's not blind anymore. And his parents are there. And they're just basket cases. Because they say, well, ask him. He's of what? He's of age. I don't really know what that means. And the Pharisees are there, who said that they saw, and they're blind. They're blind as blind. And so the blind have sight, and those who say they have sight are blind. That's the way it always is. And there's always two responses to Christ, blasphemy or worship. That's the way it always is. There aren't shades of gray. That's just a stupid book and movie. That there's shades of reality and shades of morality. There's only two ways. There'll only be two responses for all of eternity, blasphemy or worship. You think about that. You know, when this world comes to an end, when your time on earth comes to an end, all your little trophies like mine are hanging on the wall and your kids are selling them in the garage sales. And your house belongs to somebody else. And you're not young anymore. There's only two responses, eternal worship or eternal blasphemy. So this remarkable story, when everyone's there, Jesus begins to speak. So the four parts, just look at it there. You can fill it in as I think I saw it. The first section, the first part of the story, every sermon has to have 3 points. Every sermon. This one has 4, I guess, but the shepherd gathers the flock. So that's verses 1-6. And it's described in verse 6 as a what? Figure of speech. It's not a parable. A parable would be, the kingdom of heaven is what? Like. The kingdom of heaven is like. That's a parable. This is an analogy that Jesus is using with blind people, the Pharisees, and they don't get it. These men were inveterate Bible readers. No one read the Bible more than the Pharisees. They read it every day of their lives for years. And they put it on their forehead in little boxes. They put it on their... They still do. Go to the Wailing Wall. Go to the Western Wall. The lights are on. They're out there. What are they doing? You can read the Bible all of your life and never see Christ again. And so this is a salvation message, really is. It's about salvation story. I'm the good shepherd. So the analogy, we'll go back. And then I see in 7 through 10, look at verse 7 through 10. You can mark on this paper, it's okay too. 7 through 10, why is Jesus gathering a flock? Very clear. Why is he gathering a flock? Why is he drawing a people to himself? And then in 17, how is he gathering a flock? I just want you to see the answers are in the Bible. I don't have a lot of stories. I used to tell a lot of stories. I don't do as many stories anymore. But Jesus told stories. But these stories have a lot of theology. You know, the trend is, let's just tell stories. That isn't that what Jesus did. Didn't Jesus just tell stories? He told stories, but look at the depth of these stories. So we'll look at the how he's doing that. And then more of a very interesting and relevant to us. Who are these other sheep? Other sheep I have. Other sheep. Who are not part of this fold. What fold? I must bring them. Must. Hopefully I've got your interest. So first of all, verses 1-6. The shepherd gathers the flock, despite those who usurp his... Scratch that last part out. I changed my mind on that one. Now, it has all the analogies here. I don't I'll skip my notes here. You don't raise sheep. We drive sheep. We have a Jeep. You have a dog. You go to Australia, New Zealand, sheep, forget it. Sheep over there in Israel, at least in the first century, were a very, very common scene. And every Jew knew sheep and shepherds. They knew the great shepherd David. They knew that Abraham was a shepherd and Isaac was a shepherd and Jacob was a shepherd. And they knew that the greatest shepherd was God. Because Psalm 23 says, what? The Lord is my shepherd. Remember the first funeral I did when I was pastoring a mega church back in Minneapolis, in Minnesota, about 70 people. I met with a family down in the basement, and I said, do you have a passage of scripture? And the lady said, oh, the good shepherd is a good one. I knew what she meant. It was kind of a deer in the headlight for the rest of the relatives. This one lady said, the Lord is my shepherd. That's a good one. And that's true. So these Pharisees, these inveterate Bible readers, they should have known that God was coming to shepherd his people. But they were blind. You see it every Sunday. Blind. You could read the words. They don't get it. They don't see it. They don't love it. They don't treasure it. Because Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and they what? They follow me. So there's quite a scene here. Let's look at it briefly. I think you can get the picture here that everybody farmed. Even in recent American history, George Washington was a farmer. John Adams was a farmer. That's what they did. So there is a sheepfold, which would be a rock pen by a house, and there would be a lot of flocks at night that came into that one fold. And maybe it's rock, and maybe it had one door. I mean, Darren mentioned that. And there would be a gatekeeper. King James calls him the porter. You ride in the train in America back in the olden days, and there was a porter, kind of guy that helped you get your bags on the train. And there would be the sheep. There would be many flocks in this one fold. And in the morning, the shepherd would come and he'd call his sheep. I don't know what he called them. Fluffy, brownie, blackie, hook nose. They knew his voice and they'd come out. And sometimes at night, there would be thieves and robbers who would not come through the door but would come over the wall. They couldn't take out the sheep. They'd kill the sheep. They'd abuse the sheep. They'd throw the sheep over the wall, and then they got the wool and they got the meat. There are still false shepherds. Some of them are on television. Some of them are in churches. And then there are the strangers that will not follow. So Jesus is simply using this analogy to the Pharisees and to the man who's now seeing, and his mother and dad and the neighbors are there. And it is a simple analogy. False shepherds in their own day, in our own day, true sheep, love and treasure the voice of the shepherd. Now I brought, just as an illustration, I usually go a long time, but I brought my mother-in-law's Bible. She died last year. And I always think of that verse. I think of her. Here's her 19, this to my daughter Mary Lee, November 24, 1946. So it was the Bible somebody, I guess her mother, gave to her, 1946. You can look at it afterwards, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Now, it's interesting that every page is marked up. Every page. Every page is marked up. And I think that's because my sheep hear my voice. And they follow me. You can have a Bible that you've had for years and it's not marked up. No. I mean, you know, it's not used. So it's possible to be a Bible reader. It's possible to be a good Baptist in good standing and go to church, and you're just here, and you don't love the shepherd's voice, and you don't recognize it. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." I was a little kid, about 10, and I was thankful to go to a little church that preached the gospel. Every Sunday, he gave an invitation. I was about 10, I think. I don't remember what the passage was. I stepped out. Anyone who wants to receive Christ, you don't have to step out. I stepped out, and I half eloped and walked down the aisle. He didn't know my name. He knew I was that little Hayes boy. So I was 10. I'm 65. I know I look a lot younger. I still love his voice. That's why Darren, that's why I appreciate it. Ask a shepherd to speak. Speak the shepherd's words. So if it was real at 10, and it was, I wasn't a theologian, but I thought I should read my Bible. And I'm 65. Well, it must be real, huh? Why is it real? Because my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. So he's getting that point across. And I think the Pharisees are blind. Jesus is gathering the flock. But how is he doing that? Or why is he doing that? Why is the good shepherd? Okay, let's go back to verse 7. Look in your Bible at verse 7. And I just see two things. If people say, well, Jesus is the door, Jesus is the shepherd, that doesn't make sense. I mean, that's why the Bible doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. You can't be a door and a shepherd. Well, I guess you could if you were sleeping at night in a wicket pen you made. I don't think it has to make sense. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the shepherd. I think if you're a real sheep, you love that. He's my door. He's the only hope I have getting out of this mess, this flock we're in, this world we're in. He's the only hope I have. Sheep like to hear that. And sheep really like to hear that they have a shepherd in the 21st century. Skip the confusion with the, that doesn't make sense. The Bible never made sense. He's a door, he's a shepherd, what is he? And there's two reasons here. Why is Jesus gathering a flock? Now, can you see him in verse 9 and verse 10? Can you fill in the blanks here? You seem like friendly folks. Maybe you could. Well, first of all, verse 9, call this letter A, I guess, that they'll be saved. Why is Jesus gathering a flock? Number one, letter A, that they will be saved. Look at verse 9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be what? Saved. And some churches don't even talk about that anymore. They don't. They do. They do not. It's chipper and upbeat and cutting edge and funny, and they're not talking about being saved. They will be saved. What's that sound like? They will be saved. So, there's a lot of doctrine in Jesus' parables and his stories. If you're looking for meat, you can go to Romans and Ephesians, Colossians. You just read what Jesus said. And the second is verse 10. The thief comes only to steal, and kill, and destroy. I come that they might have life. And I like one translation says, I mean really live. Are you living? you have abundant life. Abundant life is not just about having stuff. Having a 7,000 square foot house and three new cars and three garages. Abundant life isn't stuff. Well, it was like the English Baptist Charles Spurgeon, who said, touring a mansion one time in London, and somebody asked him, "Oh, what do you think? What do you think?" He said, "These are the things that make dying hard." Right? Abundant life. Oh, if I could just get promoted. How many times do we say that? I just get a better something, better job. If I could just move, do something. Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life." I mean, really live. Are you just living, or are you living or existing? And the third thing is, as our time is moving very slowly, how is he going to do that? This shepherd, this good shepherd. I am the shepherd, I think more literally, I am the shepherd, the good one. They're not them. Don't you see the Pharisees just kind of, you know, winding their watches and or angry? Well, look at verse 11. How is Jesus gathering and giving abundant life to the flock? And the first is in verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He was a hired hand and not a shepherd, does not own the sheep. And then verse 15. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. And then verse 17. For this reason, the Father loves me because I what? Lay down my life, that I may take it up again. And then verse 18, no one takes it from me. Jesus wasn't executed. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. So those two reasons. How is Jesus doing this? You're looking for theology? Looking for some moxie depth in little Jesus stories? The storyteller? I lay down my life for the sheep. I take it up again. That's happened a few times where someone's laid down their life. I don't know if it's happened at Carson. Second World War, Korea. There have been men who laid down their lives for another man. Sure, it's happened. But nobody's ever said, "I'm taken aback." You know anybody like that? No. Greater love hath no man than a man lay down his life for his friends. This happened. But no one's ever taken it back. And I like that because I like history, but I don't need a first century shepherd. You know what I need? 21st century shepherd. I need someone who took their life back again. I need somebody with me. I need somebody walking with me. And then the fourth thing, Jesus is gathering a flock from the fold. How is he? Why is he doing that? How is he doing that? The last point I'll make is, who are these other sheep? Verse 16. I like this. I have. What kind of tense is that, kids? I have. Present tense, right? Echo. That'll just change your life this afternoon as you go to the subway. I have them. Not I had them, or I might have them. Some people wonder, I don't know if this church thing is going to work. Is the Jesus thing really going to work out? I have other sheep who are not of this fold. I must. There's that divine, John uses that little particle, dei, as I. You must be what? Born again. I have other sheep of this who were not of this fold. I must bring them. The divine necessity. Sometimes how that little particle is translated. I have other sheep who are not of this fold. I must bring them, and they will listen. I can't think of a better motivation for church, for doing church, for doing ministry, for having a church. I have them. What kind of theological background you have? I have them. They will come. And after I have them, they will what? They'll listen. Oh, they're listening after they've been had. It's another thing to put in your theological pipe and smoke. Well, who are these people? Who are these? Well, I think it's, if the first fold is Judaism. See, the fold is not heaven. Jesus isn't pulling people out of heaven. Oh, the good shepherd's come to the door of heaven. Come on out. It's no good in there. What is the first fold? Judaism, Israel. What's this fold? Everybody else. That's you. Anybody Jewish background? It's always a couple. Yeah, there you go. Anybody Gentile? Anybody care? Right. I have other sheep who are not of this fold. I must bring them. You know, sometimes you get discouraged in ministry, then nothing's happening. He has them. And they will come. And they will listen. There was a guy named David Livingstone. Some of you remember the story. He was a Scottish missionary explorer. Went to Africa. I think he wanted to go to China. He couldn't get in. 1860s, 70s. And he was gone for years. David Livingstone, not Livingstone, Livingstone. Explorer, the big falls, what's it called in Africa? There you go, found that one. I mean, I think the Africans found it long before David Livingstone. He was gone for years, I couldn't find him. They sent Henry Stanley, who had been a Civil War veteran. I guess they figured if you can survive the Civil War, you can find the great missionary explorer. The British newspapers were looking for him. You know, where in the world is Carmen, what's her name? Where's he at? Oh, forget that stuff. And he finally found him, and he said, Dr. Livingstone, I presume. Yes, I'm very happy to meet you. Well, he loved Africa so much that when he died, he said, I want you to cut my heart out. He was dead. And bury it here. And they took his body. Maybe some of you know the story. They took his body back to Westminster Abbey, and they put this verse. Look at it. Verse 16. They put this verse. He loved Africa so much. I have other sheep who are not of this fold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice. The first time he went there, you know, in the army, so you get to travel, TDY, all that stuff. Thanks for paying your taxes. And we went there. And you just, at Westminster Abbey, you're looking up the monuments on the side, and I looked down, and I was standing on him, standing on the grave of David Livingstone. And there's that verse. I have other sheep. I have them. I like that. Not just that they're other sheep. They will listen. So I wonder today, just let me fast forward to the end. If you're not more like, I don't know, maybe like the Pharisees, you just read and read and read and read. which you'd never read. You know, Jesus told these dudes six times, I think, I don't know if it's just in John, six times, have you never read? Well, of course they'd read. I mean, you're talking to the ultimate Bible readers of all times, the Pharisees. Jesus said, have you never read? And they never had because their heart loved other things. That was the Pharisees' problems. And when your heart loves other things more than God, you won't see it either. You'll look at the clock. You'll look at the coffee. You'll look at the pastor and the music. But you won't hear. You'll read, but you'll never hear. And Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. You can't. He didn't say you shouldn't. He didn't say it's a really bad idea. You'll really be unhappy. He said you can't. Because you'll either serve God, you'll despise one. You'll either hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot, what? Serve God and money. You cannot. So maybe you're here this morning and realize, yeah, I've been reading for a long time, but I've never seen him. I've never seen him. I've never seen him as the shepherd who gave his life and took his life back up again. I just know about him. I don't know him. Oh, this is the day for your salvation. The shepherd's calling your voice. That's what it is. In Revelation 22:11, it says, let him who is filthy be filthy still. And let... I'd like to read the whole thing, but we need to go. You'll become, if you're a blasphemer or a worshiper, you're a blasphemer because you have an inadequate view of Christ. You're a nice person. You're a nice person. You got 3 degrees. You live in a nice part of town. Your neighbors love you. You're not saved. You don't know the shepherd. You've never heard his voice. You wouldn't think of having a Bible like that. It just doesn't make sense. Maybe that's where you are today. Today's the day of salvation. And the last thing is, okay, that little picture pop up there. Oh, you're waiting for a picture, yes. Have you heard the voice of the shepherd? That's not the picture I was looking for. Oh, there it is. Okay. I was looking back here. You know, you go in St. Paul's. Anybody been to London lately? Last week? No. You go in St. Paul's Cathedral where that lady, that really pretty lady married that, what's his name? Forget it. She got married there. Diana. You go in, turn to the left, go to the chapel on the left. There it is, Holman Hunt. And it's big. That's a big picture. And it's called The Light of the World. You know that story. And Jesus said, behold, I stand at the what? The door and knock. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice of the shepherd and opens the door. There's no handle. In fact, it's interesting. Man, that is big. I mean, it's bigger than that. Here's the side chapel. And the coffee shop's in the basement. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And it's all grown over. See all the weeds? That's kind of like the human heart. That's what Holman Hunt wanted to get across. Maybe there's just a lot of junk in your life right now that's kind of prevented, but the handle's on the inside. Some said Jesus is the perfect gentleman. I don't really know what that means, but he's not going to blast his way into your life before. So however much you've read the Bible and you've never heard it, have you never read? Whoever opens the door, I will come in and what? Eat with him and he with me. Let's invite you to a relationship with Christ that's real, not just in your head. The Pharisees never got it. And they're still blaspheming, still. And this blind man, who's no longer blind, wouldn't it be fun to know what happened to him? What happened to him? And hopefully he had an influence on his mom and dad. You have a relationship with Christ today? Is it real? Have you heard this, the shepherd's voice? I trust that you have. And finally, he'll never be defeated. I like that. There's only going to be one flock and what? One shepherd. There will be one flock and one shepherd. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and how the simple reading of it. Thank you that we can read it. Most important thing we can do is read it and then seek to apply it to our lives. So we pray that you would draw, the shepherd's voice would draw this morning, those who have read and read and heard and have never responded to the voice of the shepherd who's calling today. Draw them, Father, to yourself. We pray in Jesus' name.